Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin, Daf Yud Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Yud Beis and Beis. 8 lines from the bottom begins the Gemara. Amar Rav Chibar Abba Boy Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan posed the following question: Katan yesh lemachshava or ein lemachshava? In every situation where kavana is required, the Gemara's question is: does the katan have the proper kavana? For example, as we just finished learning Masechta Zvachim and Menachos, where the Torah tells us that when you bring a carbon, you have to have kavana. What's the halacha if the katan had this kavana? Will that be considered an adequate way of bringing a carbon? Tosfos asked the question because he says that we learned in the first blot of Masechta Zvachim that if somebody shechs something stoma, that he didn't have any kavana, it's kosher. Because tam zvachim l'shman him aimed him. They normally considered that they were done l'shma. So if that's the case, why should a katan, even if we'll say, as Tosfos, that a katan doesn't have machshava, as Tosfos, he's no worse than a gadol who does it b'stam. Rab Aaron, Kotler Zatzal in the Sefer Mishnas, Rab Aaron says that a machshavas loy l'shma, we learned the opinion both of Rashi and Tosfos, is that it's only a problem if it was articulated. So even if the katan didn't articulate something shloi l'shma, so Tosfos answers that indeed, that when a katan brings a carbon shloi, when a katan brings a carbon with even a kavan of l'shma, it's worse than a gadol bringing it b'stama. And Tosfos explains that the reason is because a katan, according to the halacha, has no ability to have kavanah. If a katan has no ability to have kavanah, so when the carbon was brought that way, it's just like it was brought in a status of masasik, that the halacha is that a masasik in many areas of halacha, Hilchos Shabbos and other halachas, is not considered a kavanah, not considered anything at all. The Sefer Yisoid Visharish Avodah says that if somebody makes a bracha without kavana, it's like he made a bracha of atala. And therefore he says that if somebody does that, he says it's going to be considered that he did a mitzvah, he was over a lav, they mention Hashem's name in vain. So as the Saitav Sharish Avaida, if we're saying that the cotton, if there's a chance that the cotton doesn't have kavana, and that, so how could he ever make a bracha? Just like we're saying now, that if somebody makes a bracha without kavana, the halacha views it like he was over the loisa say of leisis shem eshav. So then, when we're teaching a katan to make a bracha, what we are essentially doing is we're telling him to say Hashem's name in vain. So I saw that the Paradis Yosef explains that another question. Halacha is that on mitzvah drabanan, we make a bracha. Now the question is, a mitzvah drabanan is not a mitzvah that we are obligated to do. So there's no obligation to say a bracha because the whole mitzvah doesn't exist midaraisa. So now the question is if somebody does make such a bracha, why should be allowed to make such a bracha? Shouldn't this perhaps be considered a situation of leisis Hashem Hashem? The answer is that when Chazal have the halachic right to institute brachas, included in that right is that they could tell us that we're allowed to make a bracha. That's in their right. So he suggests the same thing is in place when it comes to a katan making brachas. If there is an obligation, which of course there is, to be mechanech a katan, included in the mitzvah of being mechanech a katan is that he should make a bracha. And if included in the mitzvah is that he should make a bracha, the halacha is that wouldn't be considered bracha levatala. Amalei Rav Ami. So Rav Ami says, Rav Chiba Abba, but to buy lemaisa, why are you only asking a question if you could consider the machshava of a katan something valid. And the example that the Gemara is going to use is that if there was an animal that was on the south side of the base of the Azara, that the halacha is that karbonos are supposed to be carbon kachikachim oil is supposed to be brought on the north side. So if we see that the cotton takes this animal from the dorm to the tzofen, it's an indication that what he did has meaning. So Mishnah Maisa Lokom Boile, the Tanan, because the Mishnah says explicitly, Yesh Le Maisa, that when a cotton does something which makes it obvious that he knew what he was doing, that it's considered that valid. So if that's the case and you're well aware of that Mishnah, so then the Mishnah also say, Machshava namli tabele. There should be no question about Machshava, the Tanan, because the Mishnah teaches us explicitly the Eilam Machshava, that they don't have Machshava. Where do we find this? Says the Gemara, the Tanan, the Mishnah, Masech, the Kalim, Perik Yud Gimel, Perik Yud Zayin, Mishnah Tezvav, says, Haloin Varima Ve'egois, these are all types of fruits that have a hard shell. Shechok Kam Tanaikus, that a child emptied out the fruit that's inside, and now we have a receptacle. And the purpose of what he did was to lob it by offer, to use it as a measuring cup. Oishaskiram lakap maznaim, where he fashioned it to be used for a scale, tameim. And the Mishnah says the reason is, sheesh lamaisa, when they did something and it's obvious what they were doing has meaning, we take that into consideration. But the Mishnah says, vein lam machshava. What that means is, that if the child decided that he's going to use this shell for as a keli, then the halacha is, since he didn't do anything, all he had was just a machshava. As Rashi explains, if this was a gadol having machshava, it would be considered a keli. By a katan, it's not that way. So, says the Gemara, we have the answer to our question. Answers the Gemara, Amalei, b'machshavas greitza, if there was only machshava like a mabayle. Indeed, there's no place for question. The halacha is quite clear that a cotton doesn't have machshava. Kikam abayle, but says the Gemara, where do we have a question? When machshavta in the keres mitoich massive, as we said, where his machshava becomes clear through his action, as we said, to go in the Kaima Oila B'Dorim, the Oila was in the south side of the Azara, which we keep on repeating is not where the Shechita of a Korban Oila is supposed to take place. And then the cotton took it to the Tzofen side, V'Shachta, and he did the Shechita there. He didn't say anything. And the question is, Mai, how does the Halacha view this situation? Do we say, if he knew to bring this carbon to the north side, that's an indication that he has kavana. Idilma, says the Gemara, maybe the reason he brought it to the north side was because he couldn't find any room on the south side, so he just moved it there. He just moved it there for convenience. Ask the Gemara, but that question as well has already previously been addressed. Says the Gemara, this question has already previously been best. The Tanan, the Mishnah, and Masechta Machshirin, Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph. So, a very important halacha when we speak about food being able to be mekabel tuma. The food cannot be mekabel tuma, A, before it was detached from the ground, and B, it had to be made wet. But what does it mean that it got wet? There are seven mashkim, tal, dew, mayim, water, yayin, wine, shemen, oil, dam, blood, chalav, milk, vidvash, tamarim, daytani. They are all considered liquids that can make a food susceptible to tumah. However, that is not enough because the Torah says the word kiyitain, mayim al kozera. But that word could be pronounced in one of two ways. Kiita means that it should be put on. Yuta means that it wasn't deliberately made wet. It was got wet but the owner was satisfied. And the halacha is, therefore, that even if the person who made the, even if the owner didn't necessarily put the water on, the liquid on, but he was satisfied with that, that's enough for it to become mukhshal kabel tumah. And the Mishnah and Masechta Mechshira teaches us that amal peres lagag mnei kanima. Somebody took up fruit to the roof because it became infested, and that's how the insects will go out. V'yarlem tal, and then dew, which is one of the seven liquids that we just identified, fell dropped on them. Erem b'chayutam. The fruit is not mukhshal kabel tumah because it's only in a case where the owner wanted it. If he did, he didn't take up the fruit to the roof for that purpose. He took it out up for the purpose of getting it de-infested. But if he wanted that, then indeed the fruit will become mukhshal kabel tumah. Continues the Mishnah, Helm Chereshoit V'Katan. Apish Niskavnu L'Kach, even though that's something that they want the fruit to get wet, what they do, a mice of a cotton has strength, but and since the fact that they're satisfied that these fruits got wet is something that's dependent on their machshava, since it's dependent on their machshava, that isn't enough that it should be considered an act of kavana. And therefore, Rashi continues saying that only if it happened after the fruit got wet, and they say, you know what, I'm satisfied that the fruit got wet, the halacha is that it's a machshava alone, and as we're learning throughout our shiur today, a machshava alone is not something that a katan could do. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan, in explaining that Mishnah, says, lo shana el shloi hippach. This halacha, that the machshava of the cotton won't have any halachic strength, is where he just said, I'm satisfied with them getting wet. However, hippach behem, if he turned them over, harezeh b'chiyutam, because now we show not just that it was something that he's thinking, it's now something that he is doing. And the way the Mefarshim explain that hippach behem, even if he just turned it over and didn't say anything, but the Maisa makes that it should be considered that he, as if it's some that has halachic strength. It's interesting that the Rishonim and the Achrayim discuss, the Gemara is putting together, bundling together, the Chereshoit V'Katan. And the question is this halacha, the shir that we're having today about the Machshava V'Katan, is it applied to a cotton alone? Was the same shayla going to apply to a cheresh v'katan? The Rosh Yosef wants to suggest that a cotton, yesh lo das ktsas, does have some das, whereas a cheresh and shayta are not b'nei deya, and therefore they should not be bundled together. And one of the rayas that he brings is that our Gemara used the word hipech. Hipech is loshen yochid. If the halacha we're discussing now equally applies to chereshoit of a cotton, it should have said hafchu. Moreover, the Rosh Yosef, when he mentions this, it says when the Rambam discusses this halacha only about a shaita, only about a cotton, not a cheresh v'shaita, again indicating that we're only talking about a cotton. Says the Gemara, clearly we see that when his machshava is coupled with a maisa, the halacha is that it's something that we take into consideration. But says the Gemara, hach kamei b'lei, the question is, that halacha, that we're taking both in consideration, his machshava, together with his maisa, is that halacha that, midraisa, this is something that we take into consideration, or it's only midrabonim? And what that would mean, explains the Rishonim, that we're only going to use this when it's only something we're going to do, the chumra, the midrabanan, we're going to take this into consideration. But it's not something we're going to take into consideration, lakula, Rabbanan could only make a churma, not a kula. Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Masne Hachri. This is the way Rav Nachman by Yitzchak discussed this Gemara. And that is, Amar Chibar Abba, by Rabbi Yochanan, Katan Yesh Le Maisa, Ein Le Maisa. The question is, if the Katan did something which indicates, if the Katan did something which shows his Maisa, and then he explicitly said that was his intention. Going back to the example that we've been discussing throughout our shiur, he brought this carbon from the south to the north, and he said it because I know that you can't bring it in the south. Can we take what the Katan says into consideration? Amalei Rabami. So Rabami said to Rav Chibar Abba, "V'tibay le machshava. Why don't you ask about a machshava alone if it works by Katan?" In other words, if there's a carbon oila, which is already in the north side of the Azara, and the Katan shechts it, and the Katan clearly tells us that the reason he shechted it is was l'shem oila. Why don't you ask that question? The answer is, why don't you ask that question? Because it's very clear, as we mentioned earlier, the Mishnah teaches us, ein la machshava. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, then you don't have a place to ask. So we speak about Maisa, there's also no place for this, there's no place for this question. Why is there no place for this question? Because the Mishnah clearly told us, Yesh le Maisa, that they do have a Maisa. So why are you asking this question? Says the Gemara, as we said a moment ago, Hach kamei b'alei. This is the basis for the question. Midaraisa, when we say that a cotton has Maisa, does it mean even midaraisa, or does that mean only midrabanan? And as I said a moment ago, what that would mean is it only represents a chumrah and not a kula. Or pashit, and the way Rabbi Yochanan answered this question, that in a case where their maisa coupled with their machshavah makes it very clear that the halacha is yesh la maisa afil midaraisa. Then a case it's obvious that they know what they're doing, like we keep on repeating, taking the animal from the south to the north, it's going to be effective imam d'raisa. Ein la machshava, but when they only have a machshava, afilu midrabanan, the midrabanan, it's nothing. Machshachta nekares mitach ma'isa, midraisa ein loy, it's not going to be satisfactory, midrabanan yeshloy. Continues the Gemara, as we've been speaking throughout our shir, about doing something without kavana. So ask the Rabbi Shmuel Marafuna, Menayim was asked the Kachin Shu Puzzle. How do we know that if somebody was handling a knife, and as he was handling this knife, somehow the knife came in contact with an animal and it shechted the animal? How do we know that that shechita is puzzle? Says the Marsh Nemar. Says the Gemara of Shachar is Ben Abakar. And the Torah says by Shechit is Kachim, we learn from here, Shtei Shechit L'Shem Bakar, that the Shechit has to be done with the intention to do a Shechit. And if it wasn't done with the intention to do a Shechit, it's not valid. To which he said, Amalai, so Shmuel said, Zubi Yedeinuhu, that the mitzvah is to have Kavanah by Shechit, that I was well aware of. My question is, Amalai, what about L'Akim Minayim? How would we know that if it wasn't done that way, it was only L'Ma'aka, if it was done that way, but the evidence it's acceptable, maybe it should, or it's not acceptable, to which he answered, the Pasuk says, L'Ritzoyncha Tizbechua, which we learn from the L'Datchem Tizbechua, is it has to be done with clear intention. Rabbi Kivega tries to understand, when the Gemara says that it has to be done, that the Shechita has to be done, la'akiv, it's absolutely essential, is that a din only in the Shechita part of the bringing of a carbon, or is that in all other parts of the bringing of a carbon? And if that, and there are many nafkaminas for this, Arkivega asks, there's another concern, that it has to be something that's taught by the Bnei Aaron, and Ketanim are not Bnei Aaron. The And the gist of his answer is that if we see that there's a katan who has some level of das, the Gemara, according to him, is considering, should we take that into consideration? The Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kolchasar, based on what we're learning in our shir, that says that this has relevance for Hilchas Muksa. Because the halacha is, when we speak about Hilchas Muksa, Muksa means, and we're going to discuss it in our coming shiurim, that somebody set aside something not to use on Shabbos. And the question that he poses, if we're saying that the machshava of a katan doesn't count, so if the katan designated something that it shouldn't be used on Shabbos, will it become muksa? And the Shmir Shabbos Kuchasai says, based on what we're learning in our Gemara, that it depends if there's a maisa. If there's a maisa, then the halacha is, if there's a maisa, then what the katan does counts. If there's no maisa, then the machshava doesn't count. The question that comes up that the place can discuss in different mitzvahs, what is the status of a katan? For example, the Shulchan Aruch speaks about a woman making tzitzis. The Shulchan Aruch's opinion is that a woman is allowed to put on tzitzis. The Ramah says that men should put on tzitzis. And he says, l'chatchil, that's what we've done. And the reason is because Rabbeinu Tam says, any mitzvah that a woman is not obligated to do, she can't be the one to make the tzitzis. And therefore, says the Magen Avraham, the same thing would apply by katan. He's not mechuyev in making tzitzis. There are those that disagree. And they say we can't treat the katan like an isha. And the katan currently is not mechuyev in the mitzvah tzitzis, but he's going to grow up and be mechuyev in mitzvah tzitzis. Whereas women are never mechuyev in tzitzis. And that's why the Bi'er Halacha says that there are those that say that the halacha of a katan is not the same as a woman. There's another point that the Bi'er Halacha makes, and that is that a katan, the whole discussion is about a katan making tzitzis for someone else. But a katan making tzitzis for himself, even if he made the tzitzis when he's a katan and now he's a gadol, the Bi'er Halacha opinion is the halacha is that he could continue wearing those tzitzis. There are those that disagree with the Bi'er Halacha, and there are those that suggest that a bracha should not be made on those tzitzis. The Prima Gadim discusses what's the halacha of a katan makes a sukkah. And he says that based on our Gemara, that our Gemara just said that a katan yesh lo maisa, so the katan who builds the sukkah is going to be able to make it, should be able to make a sukkah. However, the Avni Nezer says that when one makes a sukkah, he has to have kavana that the sukkah is being made letzeil, that it's covering whoever is in there. And we just learned in our Gemara that a katan doesn't have kavana, and therefore he suggests that maybe a katan should be disqualified from making a sukkah. And so is the opinion of the Bi'er Halacha. The lechatchila, a katan should not be the one to make a sukkah. And because, as the Magen Avraham just said, that somebody who's not mechuyiv in a mitzvah cannot be the one to be asked to make that. It cannot be the one to be asked to make that mitzvah. Teaches us the Mishnah, shechitas ayv t'chavim, if a nochri did the shechita, ena, the halacha is, it's nevela. The halacha treats that shechita like it's a nevela, and the halacha is that something which is nevela is metama b'masa. Anyone who carries it is going to become tamei. The Rishonim discuss what is the source for the halacha that a nochri cannot do shechita. Tosfos and the Rosh say it because the pasuk says, "V'zavachtem b'karcha u'mitzayncha shenasu l'shem l'kecha kashet tzvicha v'achalta." And we learn from here, "Mashat zaveich at the oichel." From this, we learn that only somebody who's has the mitzvah of shechita has the mitzvah can do shechita. But a nochri, who obviously does not have the obligation of Shechita, cannot be, is not in the category of a Zavachta. And given that he's not in the category of a Zavachta, that's why he can't do a Shechita. The halacha is, others explain, that whatever a Nochri does, in order for a Shechita to be a Kashra Shechita, it has to have a Maisa Shechita. And what a Nochri does is not considered a Maisa Shechita. But the question is, as we learned very extensively when we began the Masechta, we discussed the Shechita of a Cheresh Shaita V'Katan. And when we discussed the Shechita of a Cheresh Shaita V'Katan, we determined that that Shechita is considered a valid Shechita. But given these explanations, why is that? Why should it be any different than a Nochri? So some explain that since the halacha tells us that we're not allowed to feed, that the halacha tells us we're not allowed to feed a child a nevela, so then he is considered a bar zvicha. There is no issue of feeding an adult. There is no issue of feeling a nachri nevela, but there is clearly an isser to feel the child nevela, and therefore, since there's an isser to feed the child nevela, that will make that there's an isser nevela even by that they're considered bar zvicha. The Achiezer takes a different approach. The Achiezer's approach is that indeed currently he's a katan, and since currently he's a katan, he has no chiv of shechita, but he will grow up, and when he'll grow up, of course, he'll be obligated to do. He'll be obligated to only eat kosher food. That's enough, according to the Achiezer, that it should be considered a bar shechita. Another explanation, he says, is that the cotton is not allowed to eat. Akum is completely very similar to any parsha of zvicha. A cotton is considered bar zvicha because, as we just discussed, and we'll continue discussing, there's another element when we think about shechita. And that other element that exists when we think about shechita, when something's a nevela, it's metame. And that halacha applies to a katan as well. A Jewish child can become tame. And therefore, the shechita of a katan is very different than the shechita of a nachri. The chroinim discuss what is going to be the status of a shechita of a ger toshev. We know that the halacha identifies a ger toshev as someone who's not Jewish but is not over avodah zarah. The Rambam's opinion is that somebody who is a nochri but is not over avodah zarah, the halacha is shechitasoi nevela, that his shechita is nevela. The shach disagrees, brings other opinions that say when the Rambam says it's nevela, the Rambam's opinion is it's only nevela midrabbanan, midraisa. The Rambam would agree that it might be considered the midraisa might be considered a valid shechita. Says the Gemara, but what do we learn? That the nachri who made a shechita, the halacha is that it's nevela. Issa had no loy, but it's not osur. It's not osur b'ano. Says the Gemara, man Tana, ask the Gemara, who is the Tana that takes this approach that says that it's not considered osur b'ano? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, to like Rabbi Elazar. This doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. The Rabbi Elazar, if we're going to want to say it follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Homer, he teaches us later in the Masechta, that even if a Yisrael does a shechita on behalf of a Nachri, that the halacha is that behemoth is osur b'ano, because he says a whole new consideration, and that is that stam machsheves avik chavim levez chavim. When a Nachri does something, he has in mind that he's doing it for avodah zarah, and if he has in mind that he's doing it for avodah zarah, the halacha should be that it's osur b'ano. Because avodah zarah is osur b'hanah. Rav Ami Amar, says the Gemara, the diyuk that we began the Mishnah with saying that the halacha is that it's osur, it's matamba b'masa, but it's not os b'ano, is not the way to understand the Mishnah. Rather, hachiktani, the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Shchitas avik chavim nevela. If a nachri does the shchita, the status of that meat is that it's nevela. Hadamin, but if somebody, if the shchita was done by a min, and we're going to need to define in our discussion who is a min. So Rashi explains that the definition of a min is somebody who is oduk lavoda zara, somebody who is very attached to avoda zara. For example, Rashi says he's like a kaimer, somebody as a priest. Taisa says the definition of a min was somebody who worships avoda zara on a constant basis. However, the law, there's another definition, which the Rishonim debate, would that make somebody a min? And that is, what happens if somebody, Rachman al-Tzlan, doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he's a koifer by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is quite possible. You have an individual who is an atheist. How will the halacha view an individual who's an atheist? He doesn't believe in Avodah Zarah, but he doesn't believe in Hashem either. Some Rishonim are of the opinion that that individual is also considered a min. Says the Gemara, Hachitani, says Rav Ami, this is the way to understand our Mishnah. Shchitas of Chavim, Nevela. If it was a regular Nachri that Shechted, then the status of that meat, it's Nevela. Hadamin, the Halach is, that the Halach is that even if it's Yisrael, if it's done Lavoda Zarah, then it's also Bahana. And says the Gemara, what we're learning here is Tanina Lahadu Tan Rabbanan. We're learning what we learned in a Braisa, that Shchitas Min, somebody who Rachman Tzlan is a Min, the Halach is that we assume Lavoda Zarah, that the Shchita they did on the animal was for the sake of Avoda Zarah. Furthermore, Pitoi Paskuti. The halacha is that pas nachri was asr. But the halacha is, when we learned Masechta Avodah Zarah, there's a difference in the pas that was baked by a nachri, if it's pas balabais or pas palter. Pas palter is bread that you buy in the bakery. And that bread technically is mutter, because it was a gzera, as we learned, that Klal Yisrael was not able to accept, and Chazal overturned that gzeira, and we're allowed to buy pas palter. But when we speak about pas balabais, the pas that a nochri builds and bakes in his home, that we're not allowed to buy. Pas kuti, they were more machmeron. And the reason they were more concerned about the pas kuti than the pas of a nochri is because there was because the kutim was so close to Klal Yisrael. The reason Chazal in Masechta Avodah Zarah made these different foods osur, because Chazal were very concerned that we shouldn't intermingle and intermarry with them. That is, by the Kutim, much more of a concern. Another explanation that they explain is that, two other explanations. One is, as we said a moment ago, the reason they relaxed the Isser on pass, not a pass, a pass palter, because it was a gzerish ein revit tzibi yichayel lamaba. It was just impossible to, it was difficult to keep. But if you're just going to limit the kutim, that isn't so difficult, and that's why the gzerish was kept in place. Another pshat, is because, as we learned early in the Masechta, they discovered that the kutim had avodah zarah amongst them, and therefore they were very, very concerned about separating us from the kutim. Yainai, the halacha is the shchit of a min, is treated like yain nesach. We know wine that was poured to avodah zarah, of course, is osbano. Sfarav, if he wrote, even if he wrote Tanakh, the halacha is they should be burnt. Sifrei ksamim, they're considered like the sfarim that were written by the people who worship avodah zarah. And the reason is that we're so, the reason we're so strict about this is because, again, we want to separate itself. Peresov, any Peres that we buy from them, Tfolim. We have to consider as if Trumas and Maisis was not taken. That the children of the Minim are treated like Mamzerim. And the Pshat in the Gemara is that even though we learned earlier on Daf Yud Aleph that Roy Bilas Acha Abal, that usually it's going to be the husband, but I saw that the Rari Shapiro explains that where do we apply the concept of Roy Bilas Acha Abal? We apply that concept by somebody who is Makbid, is concerned that his wife should not be mafker herself, that his wife should treat herself in a respectful fashion. But if there's a person who doesn't care, so then we have to be concerned that the children are mamzerim, and therefore says the Gemara, the Tana Kama, who didn't go that far, and his opinion was that we don't have to consider the children mamzerim. He says ishtalei mafker. There's still some level of decency. What is the expectation of the relationship between a husband and a wife? Says the Gemara, Amamar, we said Shechitas Avodas Chavin Avela. But ask the Gemara, V'nechish, why shouldn't we be concerned that this individual is a min? And if he's a min, we've been saying that the concern is that everything he does, L'shem Avodas Zara. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, Ein Minim Be'avis Umas Avodas. We don't need to be concerned that there are individuals who are in the category of a min amongst the nachrim. Ask the Gemara, how could you say so? For kechazinen da'ika, we certainly see that there are nachrim that are very attached to the avodah zarah. Answers the Gemara, what he meant to say was, ein roiv of the kechavim minim. There may be individuals that are minim, but they're not Roiva not minim. And the way the Rishash explains the Gemara, that the animal, while it was alive, was muta bahenor. So if we combine the chazaka that the animal had, that it's not osbanor, and it's only a meat of people who are amongst them who are minim, so therefore we could be lenient. Says the Gemara, Savala. And says the Gemara, why does he take this approach? Because Rav Nachman Savala, Rav Nachman holds Ki Adam Rav Chibar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Nachram Shebe Chutzlaretz, the Nachram who live in Chutzlaretz, Lav Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They really aren't true Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but rather Milag Avseim B'Yadayim. What they're doing is just continuing what they saw from their parents, or as I saw others explain, it's more of a social issue than a religious issue. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef ben Menuni, Amar Rav Nachman, Ein Minim b'Avos Kechavim. The Nachrim who worship Avodah Zarah are not in the status of a min. Says the Gemara. So the question, of course, that comes up to ask the Tferes Yaakov, what's he telling us that we just haven't learned? So he says that before we were trying to explain the Mishnah. And that the Mishnah is telling us it's Matamba B'Masa, but it's not considered Avodah Zarah. Here he's making an independent statement. When it comes to judge a Nachri, we say Amin and Avodah Kechavim. Lamai. Ask the Gemara. Ilaim L'Shchita. If we're saying as far as Shchita is concerned, and if a Nachri Shechts, it's not Osba Noah, says the Gemara, Hash the Shchita's Min the Yisrael Amrit the Sira. We know that Loch is of a Yisrael Shechts. And that Yisroel, Chamon Tzlan Zaman, the loch is that the meat is Osba Noah. Dovek Kechavim Miboyi. Of course, it should be asked the Gemara that it should be treated like Osba Noah. Says the Gemara, Ella Shemaridin. The loch is that we don't have to care for the lives of the Minim. As the Mishnah Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Chavavam Beis teaches us, Hamayinim Aridin my son Labar. And that's what Ramachman says, that din doesn't apply by min, that din only applies by min who's a Yisrael, but not by min of a Nachri. And I ask the Gemara, I don't understand. Hash the Yisrael Maridin, we're always going to be more concerned about Yisrael than a Nachri. So if we're taking such a strong position by a min of Yisrael, Dov Dekham Ribayi, certainly we should take such an opinion by a Nachri who's a min. But the Chazon Ish makes a very important point. He says that Al Gemara just said that somebody who's a min, and we discussed earlier in our shir all the various definitions of a min. So now the question is, how do we treat the min of Bezman Hazeh? The people who have very, very weak religious observance. And the question is, how does the halacha treat such individuals Bezman Hazeh? And the Chazon Ish takes a very interesting approach. The Chazon Ish's approach is that since we live in a difficult time, and the Hashgacha Pratis is not that obvious, and also we live in a time where the Emuna amongst many people has become very weak, says the Gemara, to consider an individual a min is not really something that's a practical application. The halacha is that a min Yisrael we don't accept a carbon from. The Tanya, the Pasuk says regarding somebody who donates a carbon. The Pasuk says, Adam ki yakir mikem, v'loy kuchem. We don't accept a carbon from everyone. L'hoiti es amumar, mikem, v'chem chalakti. But says the Gemara, this distinction that from some people we accept the carbon, and from some people we don't accept the carbon, was only said by Yisraelim, that a mumer Yisrael we don't accept the carbon from. V'loy b'av the kachavim, not b'av the kachavim. Says the Gemara, Memai, what do we say? That is the basics of the pasuk. D'mehachkama, Mitzvah mitzdiki kablim rishoyim loy tekabel. From Klal Yisrael, from a tzaddik we take the carbon, and from Risha we don't. Avim b'av the kachavim, maybe what the Torah is teaching us, klal loy, that we don't accept the carbon from them under any circumstances. Says the Gemara, loy sakadatach. That can't be what the Pasuk is saying. The Tanya, as the Braisa teaches us, the Pasuk says, Ish Ish mi beis Yisrael menageh b'Yisrael she'akiv karbonoi, Ish ma'tam aloymer, Ish Ish. The Pasuk could have said the word Ish. Ma'tam aloymer Ish Ish. Why does the Torah say the word Ish twice? L'rabis oiv dekachavim, to teach us that the oiv dekachavim, noidrim nedovas ki Yisrael, they can bring a carbon. The question that many Achroinim ask is that the Nachri, when somebody makes a donation, the Loch is we have to keep our obligation. The Torah Kedosha says, Moitzis Vasecha Tishmar, if we make an obligation, we have to keep it. The Torah speaks about very extensively, Lo Yachal Dvaroi, we're not allowed to profane what we say. And therefore, the Loch is that if we make an obligation, we take upon ourselves an obligation, we have to keep that obligation. But that isn't applicable by a Nachri. So why is the halacha that if a Nachri makes our obligation, it isn't one of the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach? And the Avni Meluim says the most interesting answer. The Avni Meluim says that one of the mitzvahs that do apply by the Nachrim is that the Nachrim are individuals who have dinim, and one of dinim is that if I make a deal, I have to keep my deal. Since the halacha is that a miras l'gvoya k'mis ras l'hedyit, that when you make a pledge to the Beis HaMikdash, the halacha views it like you did a full-fledged transaction. So now we can well understand why the Nachri, who made a pledge to the Beis HaMikdash, it's k'mis ras l'hedyit, it's considered like he made a regular business deal. We learned that when the Nachri shechs, the halacha views it like it's nevela matam b'masa. Ask my pshita, kiven the nevela he, if it has the status of a nevela, we know that a nevela is matam b'masa. Answers the Gemara Amarava Hakitani. Umatam b'masa, says the Gemara v'yesh l'cheres, shimatam b'oil. There's going to be a case where an animal was killed, that it's tame with tumas oil. Ve'ezezu, what is that? It was brought for Avodah Zorah. Because like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserah taught us. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserah, as we're going to learn, teaches us that the Takruvus of Avodah Zarah has the status of Tumah Meis. And Tumah Meis is a mace is Metamba Ba'oil. Ikadamri, Amar Rav HaKtani. Metamba Ba'masa, that this is Metamba Ba'masa. V'yesh L'chayrus Shikazu, Shemetamba Ba'masa V'enim Metamba Ba'oil. That it won't be Metamba Ba'oil. V'ezuzu, he says that even Takruvus of Avodah Zarah is not going to be Metamba Ba'oil. It's only going to be Metamba Ba'masa. The like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserah, who says it as Tumas Oil. The Tanya, as tells us the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserah, Oimer Menayim Latakruvas, Oivas Kachovim, Shemetamba Ba'oil. How do you know it's Metamba Ba'oil? Shnamar, V'yitzomdu Lebal Pa'or, V'yachlu Zivche Mason. Ma Mace Metamba Ba'oil, of course we know Mace as Tumas Oil, Af Takruvas of its Kachovim is Metamba Ba'oil. Says the Mishnah Shoichet Belayla, if somebody checks at night and he can't see the Shechita, and they can assume a shachat, assume that did a shechita, the loch is that the shechita soy ksheira. So the Gemara Masechta Baba Kama, that Pei Zayin Amar Alav teaches us, that Yehuda's opinion is that a suma, somebody who is unfortunately blind, he's pata min mitzvahs. So if a suma is pata min mitzvahs, so how can we say that he's a person that to do shechita, says the Dvar Avram, that our Mishnah who says that the shechita of a blind person is kosher, obviously disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, who says that suma is potter from all mitzvahs. And because if he's potter from all mitzvahs, then as we said earlier in our shir, he's not a bar zvicha. Rabbi Kivega disagrees, and he says that even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that a suma is a bar zvicha. He says when Rabbi Yehuda Masechta Baba Kama teaches us that blind people are exempt from mitzvahs, it only means from mitzvahs asay. But mitzvahs lois asay, he has to keep. And he says that the issa to eat non-kosher meat is a issa, it's a lois asay. We're not allowed to eat non-kosher meat, and therefore everybody will agree that he's included in the halacha of shechita. Says the Gemara, Hashoichit, but the Mishnah used the word Hashoichit, which indicates that it's only b'di'evid. The evidence, l'chatchila loy, but l'chatchila, he shouldn't shecht. Why? V'rimini, but ask the Gemara, the Braisa says, loyalim shechtim b'im b'yom b'im b'layla, b'im b'roi shagag, b'im b'roi shesfina. So we see that l'chatchila will have a shecht by night. Answers, the Gemara, Amar HaPapa, when it says over there, we're allowed to shecht at night, it's talking about where there's light. And therefore, if there's light, you could shecht. Amar Rav Ashi Dekanami, that's the way to understand the Ketani Hasam. The Mishnah says, Bein b'yoyim, bein b'layla. To the layla that's being spoken about, says the Gemara, is dum yudayoyim, is like night, which is similar to day. Hacha, but the night that's spoken about it means that even though it's night, there's still light. And therefore, the shechita is acceptable. The shechita in our Mishnah of night is being connected to the shechita of a suma. A suma, unfortunately, is completely blind. And since he's completely blind, the halacha is he should not do the shechita. The Darkei Tshuva says that what would be if somebody shechted one simen and of a bird, which we learned Midrash is enough. Midrabbanan, you have to do both. Should he shecht the other simon at night, which was saying if it's dark, you shouldn't do it? Or should he just say Midrashah that shechita of one simon is enough, and that's what he should leave it? And he says that in such a case, Shev al Tasa Adif, and just leave the animal, bird with one shechita. There's a very interesting discussion. But what's the halacha about a shoichet with eyeglasses? There are some that suggest that he's a person that can't see. The Rasham says that he's qualified to do a shoichet. And not only that, the Rasham paskin, that somebody who wears glasses can do a shechita, I saw that the Beis David and other Sforim indicate that when they had an individual who came to do shechita, and he wasn't wearing glasses, and they were concerned that maybe his eyesight is not that strong, they specifically told such an individual, go and buy yourself, go and get an eye exam and make sure that if you need glasses, you should wear glasses, because if somebody needs to wear glasses, that's what the halacha wants them to do, and not do the shechita without wearing glasses and not be able to see so well.